This podcast is a 3D audio production, so watch out as sounds may seem to come from beside you or behind you. For the best listening experience, please use headphones.
We're big fans of clones, doubles, and doppelgangers here at Realm, and have several shows on the topic, which you are well aware of since you're a member of the Clone Club. In honor of our latest clone story, Echo Park, starring Harry Shum Jr., please enjoy this bonus episode where four creative producers sat down to chat all things clone in media. And when you're done listening to this episode, be sure to check out Echo Park and Overleaper for even more clone shenanigans. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Oh, yeah. So then there's this, like, the key scene we have to talk about in some of these, like, high sci-fi action movies is, like, the body floating in water in, like, a suspension tank, you know?
Hello. My name's Nicole Otto. I'm a producer at Realm. Welcome to our Clone Roundtable. I'm sitting down with three of Realm's excellent producers to chat about all things clones in media. Why clone stories are so popular in movies and TV and books, the tropes that work, some that we think don't, and what themes clones allow storytellers to explore. Echo Park stars Harry Shum Jr., and it's set in a near-future LA in which clones exist. If you haven't checked out the series yet, don't worry. There won't be any spoilers in this episode, but we will be discussing spoilers for the book Never Let Me Go by Kazuro Ishiguro and the movies The Island and Species.
Hi, I'm Marco Palmieri, senior producer and also the producer of Realm's other clone show, Orphan Black, The Next Chapter.
I'm Michael Filter,
also a producer here at Realm.
Hi, my name's Rhoda. I am the producer on Echo Park, and I really love this season. You know, Echo Park is about a detective who goes undercover as his clone to find his clone's murderer. But increasingly, he realizes he has an obsession with this life, which he maybe likes better. And all the while, he's discovering he and his clone are at the center of a really deep conspiracy, and a serial killer is on the loose. And now our detective is the primary target. So it's set in a near future LA, and it's a gritty psychological thriller, and you should absolutely check it out.
I second that. It is so much fun to listen to. So for our first question, I wanted to talk about what common themes do you think that clone stories explore? Marco, you want to go first?
Sure. I'd say common themes that clone stories explore are usually questions of identity and nature versus nurture. Because, you know, clone stories are basically about doppelgangers who mm-hmm. are genetically identical to the originals, but they haven't lived through the same experiences. So often the differences between the original and the clone, or between different clones of the same person. The core of the story is about what differentiates them more than what makes them the same.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, it also, like, just to jump off of that, it also, like, kind of on a larger philosophical, like, level, it, like, asks what it means to be human because of that question, right? Like, you have, like, the constellation of this, like, the uncanny, the existential, like, the ethical ramifications of it. Like, when you think about the identity of, like, who is real, is, like, a question I think that, like, keeps coming up again. And to Marco's point, Curtis Chen, the lead writer of this, when we first started working on this, he told me that, like, one of his pet peeves about clone stories is this idea that they're the same person, you know? Whereas, like, really what they are is they're a genetic twin shifted, perhaps in time, you know what I mean? But yeah, you know, it'll always come down to that nature versus nurture element for me.
I would also add to, for me, it's kind of about, like, stepping outside of yourself and kind of seeing, like, the path not taken. Because I think all of us, like, have this sort of, like, you know, we go through, like, thoughts of, like, what happened if I made this decision? Like, what would my life be if I did this instead of this? So I feel like clones are a way of, like, mm-hmm. seeing what does this other self look like? What does this other life look like? You know, with this, like, obsession that we have with, like, the path not taken. So I think clones are a way to look at that and sort of, like, explore different ways of, like, what our lives could have been.
And also how much of, or who and what a person is determined by their genetics.
I also think, I mean, I really agree with what you're saying, Michael. It's the idea that if you could make a different choice, if you were put into different circumstances, how would you turn out, and how scary that could be if you're a person who is unhappy maybe with your current lot, and then you're seeing this alternate version of you that has everything that you wanted. I've seen that a lot.
No, I was just going to say, like, all of that, like, makes it kind of like the perfect framing for a psychological thriller, you know, mm-hmm. because there's just, like, because all of these questions that it asks ourselves, it's really, really, really compelling, you know, and I think it shows up a lot in, like, a lot of interesting ways in media.
It also leads to one of my favorite tropes, which is the parent trap trope of switching places and living the other life that you wish you could have had.
That's so funny that you went, like, really light, you know? A serial killer on the loose in LA.
I was thinking of when you were talking about, like, questions of ethics when it comes to cloning, Rhoda. I was thinking about Never Let Me Go. So I also went super dark. I don't know if anyone's ever read that, but basically, a group of clones are being raised on a farm for organ transplants. Is that a spoiler? Yeah. Is that a massive spoiler?
It's not a spoiler. It is, but, you know, the book's like 25 years old at this point, so I think you're okay, you know?
Okay.
We can also just, like, put in a spoiler alert for other things besides Echo Park. But actually, yeah, I mean, that's that book was actually one of the main inspirations for this pitch. It was that, so Never Let Me Go is Ishiguro. And The Likeness by Tana French, who's an Irish crime novelist, which is not actually about a clone, but it is about somebody who looks so much like the detective, and kind of the same questions arise. So I think it's really interesting, because I was thinking of, like, my favorite like, clone movies, or, you know, just, like, clone-related media. And it's like there's one that hits all these, there's, like, a category that hits all these themes that we're talking about, right? Like, which is, like, you know, identity, the questions of identity, nurture versus nurture, all of these things. And then there's like blockbusters that are, like, clone adjacent. There's, like, one plot point, like, you know, Resurrection, Aliens Resurrection is just, like, she was cloned so that, like, could bring Sigourney Weaver back, like, 200 years later. But, like, otherwise, it's not. And, like, apart from the gags, or not gags, but apart from, like, this kind of, like, consistent re-upping of, like, you know, quips where she talks about how, like, you know, they're like, what happened? She's like, I died. Well, I mean, it's funnier than that, but, like, actually doesn't necessarily deal with, like, these questions of identity in a larger way. It's like a vehicle for, like, the blockbuster. But, I think they're both really, really, really fun. Yeah, I don't know. What were you guys, like, thinking of when this conversation came up? Like, you know,
Movies and books.
Favorite stories that explore some of these themes? Because what you're describing, Rhoda, sounds more like a plot device, right? It's cloning as plot device.
Right, which is also really fun. I mean, like, I think that movie also successfully, like, does a thing where, you know, Sigourney Weaver's so good in everything she does. So she's just like, it's scary, right? I died and I came back. So it has, like, that identity element. But, like, the stuff that, like, I thought really hit these themes are actually, like, kind of, they're all kind of bad, but they're so bad that they're good, right? Which is Gemini Man, Will Smith. Ooh. Love him.
Oh, never seen it. Adding it to the list.
Okay. Replicas, Keanu Reeves. Very excited about that. Anyway, I could go on, but I would love, like, and we can talk about those a little bit more, but I don't know, what were you guys, like, thinking of? Did you guys go more intellectual and heady than I did, probably?
I think I went, like, lighter. Like, when we were talking about clones, the first thing that came to my mind was Clone High, like the MTV cartoon from, like, the 90s.
I've never heard of it. I'm so excited.
I feel like it was way ahead of its time. So basically, it's a show about clones, but it's clones of, like, famous people throughout history. So I think there's, like, Joan of Arc, Cleopatra, Gandhi, JFK, and Abe Lincoln, but they're cloned as teenagers, and they're in, like, a modern high school. And it's just funny to see these, like, personalities, like, what they would be as teenagers in the modern world. So, like, Abe Lincoln is, like, a total dork. And Joan of Arc is, like, the rebel badass girl, and Cleopatra is, like, the hot popular girl. So it was, like, funny to like, play in this, like, world. So I thought that was, like, the first thing.
Where can I watch this?
I don't know if it's streaming. We have to see if it's streaming somewhere, but it's such a great show.
So bold. What a bold concept. Incredible.
I smell a podcast.
What about you, Marco?
Well, it's going to come as no surprise to anybody that, you know, I mean, I think Orphan Black, that, you know, the TV show did a fantastic job exploring these issues. I was a huge fan of the show before, you know, I worked on the podcast version. But apart from that, I mean, I also liked Swan Song, which came out last year, about a man who finds out he's dying. And his wife, you know, he has a wife and they're about to have a baby. And he's given the opportunity to be cloned and have his clone replace him after he's gone, but without telling his family. So there's no interruption. It's not perfect, but it's a beautiful concept. And the actors in it are great. One that I kind of dug was Moon. About
that one was great. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know the one. Okay, yeah. About a guy living on the moon by himself. They're refining moon dust to sift the lithium out of it, I think, and ship it back to Earth. But it's a one man operation with a lot of automation. And well, spoiler alert: whenever he dies, he's replaced by a clone, but he doesn't know it until one of his clones actually goes out to repair something and finds his own body out at the repair site. So that's when it gets really twisty and fun. For unsettling clone stories, I got to go back to the 1970s and cite The Boys from Brazil, which was a novel. And then a couple of years later was a movie with a great cast, Gregory Peck, Laurence Olivier, James Mason. Great actors, not that great a movie, but from a concept standpoint, I mean, it's about the possibility of cloning Hitler in the present day. And,
oh, wow. That's going to be a no.
You're not going to get much darker than that, right? You know?
It's a bad idea. You know, yeah.
But yeah, those are my picks.
Oh, yeah, that's worth checking out. I want to see that. Or read it, I guess. The premise of Gemini Man is, I mean, Will Smith's in it. So, do you need to know more? But, okay, it's about, like, of course, he's, like, an assassin who's excellent at his job, decades of experience. But as he's getting older, he goes up against the other best assassin, who is a version of himself that's 20 years younger that has been cloned. And watching the movie is truly a strange experience because it's like very good CGI, but it's still CGI. Do you know what I mean? So
So it's like him like fighting and like doing all of these like crazy acrobatic like action scenes where they're trying to kill each other with like Will Smith of Fresh Prince era, you know? And then so...
That's what I really wanted to see. I wanted to see Fresh Prince Will Smith fighting, you know, present day Will Smith.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, no, no, just like Fresh Prince fighting Will Smith. Like, you know, in character. So there's that one. And then Replicas is actually a super great concept, which is, and I like the way they handled the POV, but, you know, kind of in similar theme. It's Keanu Reeves, who's my whole heart. And he's a scientist and, you know, something. He's a brilliant scientist and he's working on like advanced technology and, you know, human DNA stuff. And like kind of partway through the movie or very soon in, you realize that like something is amiss and his family, his wife confronts him and she learns that she and her two children died in a car accident. So he like clones them. And now, you know, people have found out and this is like, you know, like just there are all kinds of questions ethically abound, but he really loves that family. So then they're like on a run. So it becomes like becomes like a chase movie, you know. And I really need to bring up this one, which is a show called Living with Yourself. Did anyone see that with Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd? I never watched it, but I want to see it because I love him.
Did you see it, Michael? What'd you think?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see it, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
I watched it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's super solid.
I kept expecting them to announce the second season, but I guess it's not happening. But yeah, I thought it was awesome.
It's the premise, you know.
The premise is over the top, you know. Sure. Obviously, you know, this little, you know, strip mall operation that produces clones.
Right, but it had this. That's what I loved about it is that it was really like hand wavy in the same way like Eternal Sunshine is with memory. It's just like this is a thing that's possible. So then now we've like bypassed all of these like world building things because it's like really just a character study about a schlubby guy who like really is, you know, unhappy with his life and, you know, in the throes of a midlife or not in the throes like in a midlife crisis and then like. This relationship he has with his wife, you know, who like increasingly becomes more impressed with like different versions of him rather than him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you should watch it, Nicole. It really.
I think I would love this.
The wife is Andy McDowell, right? Is that who that is? Or did I make that up?
Andy McDowell was the wife in Multiplicity, which was the clone movie with Michael Keaton.
Oh, shit.
I saw that movie when I was so young.
Amazing.
Oh, I have to look up Multiplicity now.
Oh my God.
Oh, it has Eugene Levy too.
Yeah, there were like all kinds of blasts from the past when I was just like, because I was like, Alien Resurrection. Because like, oh yeah, so then there's this like the key scene we have to talk about. And some of these like high sci-fi action movies is like the body floating in water in like a suspension tank, you know? Prerequisite for it to be considered a clone movie for real. But
well, they're grown in vats, right? I mean, you know,
amniotic fluids.
Yes. Also, but floating like that is very calming. You can actually book sessions to go float in sensory deprivation chambers. So maybe it's so that they don't wake up, gain consciousness, and are like, what the hell am I? Who am I?
Okay, wait. I actually have to pause for like a science question, which is a clone cannot be birthed through like, you know, the birth canal. Like there's no way to like install.
If you create an embryo, right? And presumably, you know, the clone has to start out, you know, from a small sampling of cells and then grow into a zygote and beyond that into an embryo. Then I suppose you could transplant the embryo into a surrogate mother.
Yeah. Okay.
To carry it to term. So yeah, so strictly speaking,
not as exciting of a visual, sure, but you know what I mean. Or not, I mean, wildly exciting because that's like real life.
Most clone stories, though, seem to involve, faster than normal maturity of the clone in question. So they can interact with, the original. Although I guess.
I'm thinking Orphan Black. They were born, right? In Orphan Black, they had mothers.
They were all cloned at the same time from a host.
Right. They had different mothers, right?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. You're right about that. They were birthed. Yeah.
The days might be feeling longer now that the sun is setting later, but that unfortunately does not mean that I actually have more time in the day. And that's why I love Factor's ready-to-eat meals. They make it so easy to eat stress-free this spring with their fresh, never-frozen, chef-crafted meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes in the microwave. And these are no ordinary microwave meals, let me tell you. They have truly delicious options. I just had this loaded bacon, chicken, and spinach meal that was so tasty. And you can even try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, broccolini. My mouth's just watering thinking about it. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up, so it kind of does feel like you're adding some time back to your day. If you'd like to try it out for yourself, head to factormeals.com/orphanblack50 and use code orphanblack50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code orphanblack50 at factormeals.com/orphanblack50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. In the climate-ravaged world of 2072, the city of Piura stands as a miraculous green haven. Piura is a geoengineered paradise that protects its fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. In a time when the world outside is unsafe, it's vital for Piura's existence that people rally behind the purpose of the city, and Demetria Lopez, head of the city's public relations, tirelessly promotes its idyllic image. But when she stumbles on a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Piura's existence, she must decide who and what she's willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Ray Seahorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Yeah, Echo Park is, you know, they're similar ages. You are a similar age to your clone. Although I still remember in It Never Let Me Go, there was a whole like story, I guess, like here, we can't spoil. We've already spoiled Never Let Me Go, or maybe you'll take it out early.
I was thinking about the island. Did anyone see The Island, the movie from 2005?
That's the one with Ewan McGregor?
Yes, I saw it. I remember I went
Naomi
to see it specifically
Watts, right?
Because I loved him so much in Moulin Rouge. It's actually Scarlett Johansson. And then Boromir is also in it, Sean Bean. But it's it's such a...
How does he die in that one?
I know, he must die. Poor man. His characters never survive. I was just thinking about that when we're talking about Never Let Me Go, and I've already spoiled this. But it's the same concept. Again, it's people being raised for organ transplants, basically to be harvested for other, for their primary's health.
Wait, I remember this. They're on an island and they think that they win a lottery.
No, yes.
To leave the island, right? And then they're just going to go and get their body cut up so that they can like give away a kidney or whatever or do the things.
That's, oh God, I spoiled The Island too. I'll put a spoil alert for The Island and for Never Let Me Go. But what an interesting case study on how you could take a similar concept or a similar like nugget
right.
of
a seed
for an idea and put it in and execute it in two wildly different directions because Never Let Me Go is so character-driven. It's written in a very literary style. The movie adaptation, which I really love with Carey Mulligan and Keira Knightley, and I believe Andrew Garfield in one of his earlier roles.
Pre-Spider-Man.
It's very languid. It's very heart-wrenching, kind of quiet. But then you look at The Island, which is like bam, bam, blockbuster in every sense of the word. I think it's, produced by Michael Bay, who's like very known for those kinds of movies. Michael, you haven't shared your favorite clone stories yet, though.
There was one that's, it kind of goes into like the more like chilling sort of like version of clones, but there is an episode of an anime called My Hero Academia, which is about like teenage superheroes like going to a superhero academy. But one of the villains that they face is a character named Twice, and he's able to clone himself, like that's his superpower. But he gets to a point where he makes so many clones of himself that they start to argue which one is the original. and even he gets confused because he has so many of himself. He's like, maybe I'm not me. So it gets to the point where they start to kill each other because they're like, no, I'm the original. So they literally start to kill each other and he's the only one left. And afterwards, he refuses to use his powers and he's left with dissociative identity disorder because he's not sure if he is the original him.
Wow.
This kind of brings up, though, my pet peeve with clone stories, which you brought up earlier, Rhoda, when you mentioned what Kurt has said about them. And that is, you don't clone memories and you don't clone personalities. So if human cloning were to become real, that stuff would never happen. It's the kind of thing that I prefer clone fiction to avoid, if possible, although I know it can generate some cool drama. But it just bugs me when a clone story is predicated on the idea of a clone that has the memories and personality of its original.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just a pet peeve.
That's interesting because it touches on a theme that we didn't talk about, but seems to be an element of Swan Song, which is the idea of cloning as a way to cope with loss.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people are cloning their pets, or you can clone your pets now. So you never actually have
to
lose
the thing.
Them.
It's not the same pet, right?
I know.
It's just physically identical. It's, it doesn't remember you. It has to relearn everything about you. You have to relearn everything about it because it hasn't lived the same life. So it's not the same.
It's a totally different expression of that thing that you loved.
Exactly.
Although I will say that I did meet a woman who had cloned her Pomeranian. And I was like, is this real? I still actually wonder because I'm just like, was she trolling me? That's so crazy, Or not crazy. I mean, loss drives us to do really intense things. The idea of when you're just like cloning for to compensate for a loss, however misguided, and like all of the kind of dissociative like mental things that unfurl from this. Echo Park cool because it like actually like every episode is named after a mental health like issue people might be going through, whether or not it's a disorder or you know, a stage of something in development. And I think it's like really cool and really fun to look at, you know, in terms of thematically what they were trying to say when they were drawing out.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's really, really, really so heady and thoughtful. I love the show.
Yeah. My other pet peeve is the whole idea of cloning humans to harvest their organs. Because we now know you can harvest organs and other body parts by themselves. You don't have to create a whole human being to do that. So you can sidestep that ethical quandary, you know.
Yeah. You know what does cloning? This isn't cloning, but I do want to bring it up because I think it touches on all these themes that we're talking about. Has anyone watched Severance?
Okay, do you want me to just like bounce out right now before?
The concept is essentially that you lose part of yourself when you go to work. Like you divide yourself. So
I've seen the first two episodes, so I do know that. But I see what you mean. Like
you partition your memories.
Basically. But it hits on the same kind of elements thematically is what you're talking about in terms of.
Yeah, because if you don't have your memories while you're working or your personal or your personal ties or you don't, you know who you're going home to at the end of the day or where you're coming from, like you kind of develop a different personality. You develop a work personality. Mm-hmm, and the show, the main character is played by Adam Scott. And then you see him outside of the office and you see him in the office and he is two different people. And then they use that to explore loss, which we were talking about, and coping with loss. It's an excellent show. I think it's been nominated for 14 Emmys.
It's a slow burn, but it really like builds up steam as it goes. And by the time you get to the finale, you're like, what?
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah. I meant to revisit it. I'm pumped.
But no clones.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's still, you know, I'm still considering it for these reasons. Sure. It's still a clone thing to me, whereas something like Alien Resurrection. Right. And, oh, you know what I was thinking of too? You know what else involved a clone? and this was like clone for femme fatale reasons, but did anyone see that movie Species? Where?
What is it?
Okay. Does anyone want to give us the premise?
It's been so long. I can't remember.
I would actually love like a as you remember it.
I forget if she was like, she was made in a lab, right? She was an alien. She was an alien.
Yeah. She came out of a pod, right?
Yeah, she was like an alien clone hybrid, I think. Mm-hmm. And she's obviously sexy. And they had made like, you know, they had, I think this is like the second movie, but they had made the species a woman this time because they're just like, it'll be more docile, except inversion. Now she's too sexy to stop. You know what I mean? It's like too many people want to have sex with her for her to be stoppable. That's like really.
Is that the ad line? Too sexy to stop?
Oh my God, incredible. And Rhoda, you would succeed in marketing.
So that's no, but that's like a really kind of, that was like kind like embedded in my mind that they're just like, oh, you know, we'll make it a female so it's more docile. And then, well, speaking of spoilers, it's totally absurd. She's like basically, this movie's so absurd. She is like on a killing rampage looking to procreate. and there's like one scene where she's like, you know, DTF with some guy who she meets at a club. And then she like just suddenly is not into it. And then he's like not okay with that. And then she ends up killing him because he's like, you know, being kind of a dick.
Didn't she have like a potential partner that she pulled away from because she smelled cancer on him or something?
Yeah, that's what it was. Is that like, yeah. And then they go and they go to the crime scene and it's like he had to inject insulin or something, you know? So he like wasn't like an ideal mate. And then you realize this is so funny. Actually, it's hysterical. Like it sounds like a fake pitch, but it turns
it
out
like that Mad Libs.
It turns out that the person she wants to mate with is the main detective looking for her because he's like the perfect whatever. Do you know what I mean? So now she's hunting him. It's so bad it's good. And that's, so, you know, that's, it's like a kind of, it's a clone movie with an asterisk next to it. Essentially.
I need to watch this. I love it. You've mentioned a few so bad it's good movies. That's
2 hours you're never going to get back.
I know.
I bet you there's like a super cut or something, you know? Or I could just tell you like all the memorable scenes, which is that, of course, you know, because she's so hot, right? So there is like one scene where like all these people are waiting to get into a club and she like just walks up and takes off her shirt and then they're like, oh, come in. You know what I mean? They like don't know what to do. Like nobody in this movie knows what to do around a pretty person. You know, they're just like lose their minds. Just like a psychosis. That's what she inspires. So
I love a so bad it's good movie. It's a great type of genre for me. I think that is a real thing. You could have something that is abysmal to the point it's a masterpiece. To go back to clones, I have a question. If you could clone yourself, would you? And why or why not?
Absolutely not. And the reason is I think there are still too many moral and ethical questions, you know, connected to human cloning. And there's too high a likelihood that some idiot is going to argue successfully that clones aren't people, they're property. So, yeah, there's no reason to clone fully sentient humans. None. There's no advantage to it. There's nothing to be gained by it. Especially, you know, even the harvesting thing doesn't work because, as I said earlier, if someone needs a spare organ, they can clone a liver. You know, they don't have to clone a whole person. I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it for like less high-minded reasons. I'm just like, I would just be like too competitive. You know what I mean? And like, I guess maybe you could argue that like if the clone's a baby, I wouldn't be competitive with a baby. But like, I can't promise you anything. You know what I mean? Like it's like an identical genetic material, and that's the part that weirds me out is that I know it's not me, but it feels like it's me, and I don't like that. So, mm-hmm. but also ethical issues, obviously, first and foremost.
One of me is enough. I don't need another one running around somewhere.
Incredible.
yeah, that was my other answer was going to be, yeah, the world doesn't need two of
me. We don't need two of me. One is too many. We don't need enough.
There's actually like in Echo Park, there is a thematic refrain that a lot of the different characters go through, which is that they like, you know, it's called Echo Park because, well, it's set in Echo Park, but also the terminology that the clone community uses is echo and source. And so, you know, there's Echo being like the clone, and there's like a movement within the clone community to like, I mean, there's just like an increasing obsession with your, you know, quote unquote original or your source, and then like backlash against like we don't need them and stuff like that. But you know, it comes up once in a while, like this idea of. Oftentimes it comes up like a sibling, right? Like the curiosity and the wonder of what it would be like to not be alone, you know? And and it's interesting how that's the way the question manifests itself when you know, when you learn someone's out there. I mean, some of the characters don't even know where they learn throughout the course of the season that they have a clone. So then, you know, you're dealing with like that fallout.
Yeah, Orphan Black did a lot of that too, where... Mm. The clones were not aware of what they were until they met others like themselves, and you know, there were whole storylines and questions raised about whether or not to make clones self-aware and what the ramifications of that would be within the context of the Orphan Black universe. But yeah, it was fun stuff. It was fun stuff on the TV show. Fun stuff to explore in the podcast version.
Yeah, they make a sisterhood. They call each other sisters, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones who form a small community, the beginnings of a small community, like they become a sisterhood.
I also would not clone myself for all the reasons that you stated. I think if I grew up with my clone, it would. And they just looked exactly like me, and we were nurtured the same way.
Yeah,
that it would be like having a twin in some way, like an identical twin. Yeah. And then if I didn't, if I now am like I will clone myself and I raise the baby, then that feels wildly narcissistic to just mother myself as a
right
in that way.
Yeah, you got to ask the question: why do it this way? Why create another human being this way when, you know, procreation is possible, adoption is possible, you know? Human cloning from a real life standpoint, human cloning doesn't really make a lot of sense.
God complex thing. People are just I want to be able to do it.
Yeah, let's do it because we can, right? You know.
Mm-hmm. If you could introduce a clone plot line into any TV show.
Ooh, I love this one.
That's good. Yeah.
Cool.
And it doesn't have to be sci-fi or fantasy or something like it doesn't have to be believable. You could do it for Only Murders in the Building. Oliver has a clone, you know, that kind of thing.
Is that yours?
No, but I would be delighted. Yeah.
It's not bad.
I think I want to go light and introduce like a strange love triangle in like something, you know what I mean? but I'm trying to think of like a light show that I've watched recently.
I'm going to say Industry. I don't know if anyone has watched Industry at all. It's an HBO show. It premiered in 2020. It's about basically trading in the finance world in London. And the second season just started in 2022. I think it largely went under the radar because of everything happening in 2020. But now it's back and it's getting a lot of critical acclaim. And it's brilliant. And I think I would put the clone plotline there because the main characters would be trying to get people to invest in some kind of cloning firm. And then that would be like the major thread throughout the whole series. Like, there's this new incredible technology and we need our guys to invest in this for our firm. And then it would kind of skirt any sci-fi or fantasy and become all about like avariciousness. And, but I also think that it's such a smart show that it would explore all of the themes that we were talking about as well. That's my answer.
Oh, mine's really off the wall. I think that I would, now that, like, I've wrapped my head around it, I would clone Tom from Succession.
Yeah!
Because I just, like, need more of his dialogue. And I need his dialogue to be bouncing off of his own dialogue. Do you know what I mean? I just want two of those people being fucking nuts and, like, neurotic and competitive. And, you know, and I think it could go in interesting ways because one could, like, kind of really, whichever one, right, the source of the echo could, you know, remain wildly dedicated to Shiv. And then the other one could just, like, go off and do, like, other nefarious things, which is, like, you know, a thing that the show is already exploring. So that's mine.
Rhoda, I know exactly what you mean by that because I, for the same reasons, I would clone Laszlo from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh my God.
Just to watch two of him play off each other.
He would love that. He's so into himself too.
Oh God, I love that.
Incredible. Nadja would be also pleased.
I would introduce a clone plotline into Gilmore Girls because I could see, like, so there's a character, Taylor Dozy, who's, like, the talent selectman. He's, like, basically, like, the mayor of Stars Hollow. And he's always doing, like, these kooky, like, talent events. So I can see him doing, like, the Stars Hollow cloning event. And everyone's like, what the hell? Like, what are you doing? And, like, all of the characters, like, all the talent people are, like, these kooky, like, character actors. So I can see them, like, riffing and doing all these, like, weird versions of themselves, like, as their clones, which could be, like, super fun. And then also that way, like, if you clone the Gilmore Girls, they can see that they are not the center of the universe. So there's another one of them. Either that or they would just fall in love with themselves because they are very self-centered. So they would just fall in love with their clones.
Incredible.
Incredible answer. I'm also just picturing a season of Succession in which one Tom is working for the dad and one is working for the siblings. like just really working both sides.
Yeah. I could see it. And then they would like kind of like convene in secret, you know what I mean? In some like secret corner office and then just be like really fucking like, you know what I mean? Just like really freaking out at each other. Ready. Let's write the spec script. Let's do it.
Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check out Echo Park starring Harry Shum Jr. wherever you get your podcasts.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the spirit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.